The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Let me say good morning to John, who's on line two. Morning, John.
Hi. I haven't rang in the radio station before. It's just to let you know, the national minimum wage everybody talks about, which is, it was £6.80 for the minimum, or the minimum wage, and now it's gone up 50p. But I work for the minimum wage at 30 hours a week. And for every pound that my wage will go up, I lose 80p in housing benefit. So the government are giving you in one hand, taking it off on the other hand.
So you're finding it tough to make ends meet. You don't have a very high income, and you get some allowances as a result of that, but you're being disadvantaged by this improvement.
Yes, I get housing benefit from the housing executive, but for every pound that my wage goes up per week, I lose 80p of that of housing benefit. So I'll actually be better off by 20p. You know, so the government's asking small businesses to pay for it, and yet you're losing your housing benefit.
So I suppose technically you are 20 pence better off, but the small business is having to do the work of the government. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
And how difficult is it for you, John, to make ends meet on that sort of salary?
Extremely hard. If it wasn't for the housing benefit and the tax credits that you get. And it'll probably affect your tax credits as well. You know, because if your wage increases, then your tax credits come down.
And have you family, John, or are you on your own?
I don't claim child tax credits, just working tax credits.
So as a result of the position that you're in at the minute, this, while it's dressed up to look like a major benefit, not a major benefit, but a significant benefit to you, it's not really.
It's dressed up. If you're earning a minimum wage for 30 hours I work, you're getting an extra £15 per week. But I will lose 80p for every pound. So instead of £15 per week, it's £3 per week.
When people talk about 50p's and £3 and even £15, does it make much difference to you?
Of course it does. It doesn't sound a lot to somebody who's not earning the minimum wage. If somebody's earning £9, £10, £12 an hour, that's not a lot. But if you're working 30 hours for a minimum wage, it is a lot. It does make a difference. I'm not running up pleading poverty that I can't afford food or anything, but it's like whenever oil bills come in, you know, it's money that you have to try and find from somewhere.
Sure, John, but you are maybe an example of the working poor, if you don't mind me describing it as that.
No. It's because the government are dressing up, but never once have they told people your wage will be increased by 50p an hour, but for every pound extra you get in your wages, you'll lose 80p of your housing benefit.
Not everyone, of course, would be on housing benefit who would be on the new living wage.
Well, there's quite a few people that would be, and tax credits.
So it's one hand given with one, taken away with the other.
Exactly.
What environment do you work in, John?
Retail.
And do you feel generally that, because retail is one of the prime examples, that people who are behind counters are generally underpaid?
So, low-paid, yes, they are. Because if you refer to the shops as well, they're finding it hard to make money because shops are struggling at the minute. No matter what people tell you about the upturn and all the rest of it, there's very little upturn because people are still struggling on the wage. And it's just the government are telling people, no, we're giving you this increase. But they don't say, but you'll lose it on something else.
Yeah, you're describing the real world, John. Listen, I appreciate the call and appreciate you taking part in the programme. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
A top man. Working hard and only 20p better off. And you do, with the headlines this morning, think you're going to be 50p ahead, but it's not necessarily like that. Good morning. This is U105 90333105. This national living wage, it's going up. It becomes law from tomorrow. And 1.3 million people over the age of 25 are set to benefit immediately. But how much of a benefit is it going to be to them? Not as big as you may have thought for the likes of John.
When it comes to bread, we know what we're on about. Brennan's Today's Bread Today.
And next up on the Frank Mitchell phone-in, a gentleman called William on line four. William, good morning.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Very well, William.
Listen, Frank, I'll tell you what it is. I used to work as a retail manager for a well-known small business. And what I've seen in the influx over the last couple of years is when the wage went up before to £6.70 an hour, I weren't exactly told to do it, but it's business sense to focus on the younger people who are below 21 who get even less than that again. And this is what's going to happen with the 25-year-old threshold, is we're going to lose skill sets. We're going to lose reliability. We're going to be employing students who, some of them are really good, but you do get the odd unreliable one, which is going to affect overtime, which is going to cost more money for small businesses in the long run.
So the younger person is going to be more attractive to the employer at the moment because they're not on the 720, they're on something like 650, is it?
It's 650 they're on at the minute. You know, so although it's not a massive amount of money, but if you have three or four people that are under 25, then you're saving that extra couple of pounds every week.
Yeah, and it could easily be argued that a 22-year-old's every bit as good as a 25-year-old.
Oh, yes. Well, I've seen it myself. We're working with young people. When they're 18, they're very gung-ho attitude. It's, you know, they want to enjoy life and so on and so forth. When you get into your early 20s, you become a wee bit more mature, a bit more reliable. At 25, you're very reliable. You know that you need to work to live. So therefore, you always turn up on time. You do your job. You do a good job. But you're always very worried that there is young people around you that aren't doing a good job.
What about the idea from the unions that everyone should be on a living wage of £10 an hour?
I think that's very unachievable. So we're doing in today's climate. You know, they're saying retail is still struggling. So it is. You can see that it's very evident with the big four. Supermarkets are even struggling at the minute, not just Northern Ireland and the UK in general. So it is. It's the smaller independent ones like Lidl, and they're actually getting a bit more. So they are, but they've actually increased. I think they increased their wage before the living wage came in.
So you think it's a bit of a pipe dream from the unions to look for the £10?
It'd be nice. Don't get me wrong. It'd be nice for everybody to have that. So it would. It would give retail that boost, but it would probably put more people on the dole.
All right, William, thank you. I asked the question because I want to speak to Neil Moore from the Unite Union. Neil, good morning.
How's it going, Frank?
Very, very well, Neil. You're organising a rally, Unite, very much behind the idea of the £10 an hour living wage. In the real world, is it achievable, Neil?
I think so. If you look at America at the moment, there's been a huge movement to increase the minimum wage from $7.25 there, the federal minimum wage, up to $15 an hour. And the same thing's been put out by retail consortiums and employers in America that are not going to be able to afford it and they're going to go out of business, it's going to be jobs affected. But it's actually had the opposite effect in places in America where it's increased. And this idea, you know, that the big four supermarkets are struggling at the moment, it's totally false. You know, they're still making billions of pounds of profits even last year, you know.
But what about the small businesses, those businesses that have to include the auto enrolment pension, who have to find an extra 50p an hour for everyone over 25? If they were, by law, to pay £10 an hour, surely they'd be closing en masse here.
Yeah, of course. And you've got to look into the economic crisis at the moment. You know, people have less money to spend. You know, young workers are still going to be on £6.70 an hour, you know, from Friday. And that leaves you with very little, you know, disposable income, especially with rising bills, rising rent. So if you actually had the minimum wage put up, you'd have people with more disposable income be able to spend their money in local business, in the local pubs, in the local shops. And that's the same effect that it's had in America or anywhere else where the minimum wage has increased.
Do you think small business owners listening to you at the moment are going to be saying, yeah, I think we'll attend Neil's rally in the city centre?
No, I think they'll be quite resistant to the idea. And when we call for a £10 an hour minimum wage, we would also call for a bit of support for small businesses, giving them a bit more time to be able to come up with the money than the larger businesses, as whenever the minimum wage was increased in Seattle. And as well as that, maybe giving them the support with their rent and their rates, you know, initially to be able to bring that in.
Yeah, but do you think it's fair to compare the Northern Irish economy, even with the Seattle economy, never mind the American economy?
We do have a very different economy here. You know, our politicians here are spending a huge amount of money subsidising low wages in terms of through working tax credits, subsidising the likes of, you know, call centres through InvestNI. So I think if that money was used elsewhere, you know, and you could actually be helping to subsidise some of the smaller businesses and helping them pay decent wages.
When are you having this rally?
So it's at 1 o'clock on Friday. We're not organising the rally through Unite the Union. We're just supporting it, and I'm just calling for, you know, young workers, if they're on their lunch break or people on shift work, to come down at it, and, you know, start a bit of a movement here. We can start to get a bit of traction on this. It's supported by the Trade Union Congress and Unite the Union, the call for £10 an hour.
Okay. Neil, thank you for letting us know about it. Will you be attending, or indeed do you feel it is a bit of a pipe dream? You'd love the £10 an hour, but realistically, is it achievable? You do let us know. 90 333 105 077 66 105 105.